It's hard to believe that this coming Tuesday here in the Northern Hemisphere is the beginning of spring when we move from darkness into the light.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As I mentioned, here in the Northern Hemisphere, this coming Tuesday is the beginning of spring. As we leave winter and the darker time of the year behind, and we begin to move into spring. I'm looking forward to that. It's been a reasonably decent winter here in Virginia. Not too cold, not too much snow. But I'll be happy to see once again the flowers blooming, the leaves on the trees, and things, well, coming back to life. If you think about it, in this Northern Hemisphere, this is also the time that we will be celebrating Easter in the not-too-distant future, when the world that was in darkness found the light of Jesus Christ. And I want to think about this dark time that we live in today. Will we ever see light again? Will this be our last summer? Does the world have any real hope? I look at news stories. I spent a lot of time having to do it, and I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest, there are days that I just want to put it all down, want to turn it all off. I want to just let it go away. I don't want to hear anything about it. The world is an evil place, and increasingly becoming even more evil beyond our wildest imaginations. Institutions that when I was a child I could count on, I could depend on, I could believe in, are now full of liars, reprobates, evil people. I really believe, and you can laugh at me, I don't care. I really believe that some of the senators and congressmen here in the United States, people in the House of Commons and in the UK and other parts of the world, I really believe some of them are demonically possessed. To do and say the things that they do, the things they claim to believe? Only somebody with an evil and sick heart could believe any of it, including people like Jerry Nadler. I mentioned him the other day, for those that hear the weekday edition. There's a man that would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. I don't believe the man has one honest bone left in him. He has been so compromised by politics and hatred and evil. And selling his soul, he has no soul left to sell. It's so mortgaged. He's mortgaged himself into an eternity in hell. And so many other congressmen here in the United States have done that. In both parties, I might add, too. Hate to admit it, but it's true. Compromisers, fakes, phonies, frauds. I've had enough, and I'm going to be glad to maybe see some light again. These people, like Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Jamie Raskin, just to name a few that just come to mind, Chuck Schumer in the Senate here in the United States, Trudeau in Canada, Biden in Washington, D.C., Macron in France, I can just list them on and on. Just evil people. Horrible people, disgusting people. They don't have your best interest at heart. In the case of Biden, I think he's a compromised man that sold out his country. And the powers that be knew it. They could control him because they could drop him off anytime they want. So he does exactly what he's told. He's the obedient little servant. But once again, I remind you, he's a totally corrupt and evil individual. I look at news stories every day, and I was just going through a handful the other day that kind of indicate where we are heading. And despite the so-called January 6th committee here in the United States that investigated the so-called insurrection at the Capitol, which is a big fat lie, we're now finding out it's getting out slowly. Maybe we'll get some light on this darkness. You know, evil hates darkness. They try to hide and erase the evidence, but they made one mistake. They didn't call up Hillary Clinton to learn how to use bleach bit to thoroughly erase it off a drive. And a lot of the evidence they tried to hide is now seeing the light of day. Now, will it do any good? I don't know. Will it at least prove many of us right? You bet it will. There's no doubt in my mind that the FBI put in agitators, provocateurs, people dressed like the crowd, instructed to infiltrate the crowd, disguised as Trump supporters, to make this thing a riot instead of a rally. That was the intent. Look, Donald Trump authorized 10,000 National Guard troops to protect everything. And amazingly, Nancy Pelosi, leader of the House, said no. Mayor Bauer of Washington, D.C. said no. Everybody said, we don't need it. We'll be just fine. No, because they knew that would ruin their plan. This was a plan. The real insurrection is the Democrat Party trying to hide the steal of the 2020 election. Newsmax, you and your clown show idiots that run it can stand there all day long after a Trump rally saying, we don't believe that the election was stolen. You morons. You idiots. Come on. Some of your hosts get it. But your ownership proves you're compromised and sold out just like Fox. Most conservative media is either clickbait garbage, fake headlines to entice you to look at something, or controlled opposition news. There are very few honest voices left. And that doesn't help you get out of darkness when they're trying to shoot out the lights or minimize the light and leave some dark corners. We truly do live in an evil, evil time. When our own government, when taxpayer money is used by the government, the deep state, against the people of the United States. And I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that what happened on January 6th was not planned by any Trump supporter. It was planned by Democrat operatives and the deep state here in the United States. Prove me wrong. We've talked about evil this week. How many of these evil, slimy people are coming after children? The whole transgenderism movement is really an affront to destroy children. Confuse them mentally, emotionally, get them sexualized at a young age, destroy them. You know, a transgender child will never be able to reproduce after they've had the hormone blockers and the surgery. These women, these girls that think they're going to become boys are never going to be fathers. These boys that become girls will never become mothers. It's just the fact of life. But then again, the devil is deceptive. Lies. We're told lie after lie. You know, the entire medical establishment, you have to believe in this or you could lose your license. In other words, medical doctors are afraid to even tell the truth anymore because of corporate medicine that goes back to 2010 when Obamacare began to roll into place here in the United States. You can blame Barack Obama for allowing medicine to become an evil practice in many places. Big Pharma made a killing on vaccines that don't work. Kids get injected with just unbelievable numbers of so-called vaccines. And I asked the question, and you're not allowed to ask questions anymore. Oh, God forbid you ask a question. You're not allowed to do that. Why do we go with autism being like 1 in 100,000 or 1 in, you know, to some unbelievable number, to 1 in 4. And that question has been raised, and it seems to track with the vaccine uptake in kids. And those that are not really as fully vaccinated seem to don't have those issues. And you're not even allowed to ask if there's a connection. COVID protocols. which made no sense to many doctors, but many doctors feared losing their license or being fired from their corporate practice. Remember, the day of the independent doctor with his independent office, with his own nurse and his own business manager are gone. It's now many doctors working for a large company to protect them, to take care of the paperwork. This past week, I ran into this story. Goes back maybe a week or so, but it's the first time I've seen it. It goes back to probably, a little over a week. And this story comes out of a school district where residents discovered there was a secret LGBTQ club. Now, we're not talking an LGBTQ club in a high school. We're not even talking about a middle school. We're talking about an elementary school. An elementary school. And this club was being held during lunchtime. And the school district made sure the parents would not know about it. Now, when I talk about Elk Grove, I'm not talking about Indiana or Illinois. I'm talking about Elk Grove, California. And I want you to hear in just a moment one of the parents addressing the school board of Elk Grove United School District in California.
California, here I come, right back where I started from, where flowers of flowers bloom in the sun. Each morning at dawn, birdies sing and everything a sun kiss, miss, and don't be late. That's why I can hardly wait. Open up that golden gate, California, here I come.
That the district recently sent this flyer, which I can provide to you, to all teachers, inviting them to a training titled Responding to Resistance. The bullet points mention that teachers will learn, quote, how to respond to resistance against rainbow clubs. Now, the discovery of this flyer was made known to us by an elementary school teacher, and it is quite alarming. It was sent just a few weeks after parents discovered a secretive lunchtime UBU club at Pleasant Grove Elementary School. Oddly, the district has not given much response to the concerned parents, but shortly after the incident, sent this flyer out to all teachers. It seems that the district's response to rightfully concerned parents of elementary-age children is to ignore them and then provide teachers with training on how to push back, ignore, and keep more secrets from parents. This is blatantly disrespectful to parents who deserve to be partners in their child's education.
And you can be swayed so easily at such a young age that, you know, if you're constantly being inculcated into this lifestyle and this mindset, you begin to wonder who you are. You know, children are very malleable, right? And they need to be protected. They need to not be pushed into some of these things. And the fact that these clubs are secretive, they're not letting parents know. They're like, it's undercover. And, you know, we know that a lot of evil takes place in darkness. And we don't want our children to be in this darkness where they're being manipulated, maneuvered, brainwashed. I really want to say vote no. Do not let this happen, because parents need to be aware of what their children are being offered, and they need to be able to say, I don't want my child going to that. I want to protect my child. I want to be able to have an option out. And I'm really concerned that these clubs, these rainbow clubs, and the LGBTQ format is directed at third to fifth grade students on up. And I know some of it is coming at even younger than that.
Now, this story is not just isolated to California, New York, or, you know, Illinois, and a bunch of other states, Connecticut, perhaps. You're finding a lot of this stuff happening in even supposedly conservative and safe states. Quietly, those people in education are determined, regardless of what the law states. Now, there have been some compromises of late in Florida with these evil individuals. They are determined to talk sex to your kid, no matter how young. They're determined to find out if your child is in the wrong body when they're in preschool and elementary school. They're not giving up. It doesn't matter what the law says. They're going to get to your child because this is their demonic mission, and they're not going to let go. If we ever in this country hope to have any resemblance of normalcy again here in the United States or in Canada or anywhere in the world, you're going to have to elect godly leaders. You're going to have to elect people of integrity. And if you never bother to pay attention to your school board meetings and who's running for school board, then you're going to be surprised. Well, don't be surprised when you find out there's a secret LGBTQ club in your little red county in an elementary school. See, they're not going to stop. But too many good people are just too lazy or uninvolved, or, you know, those that could, that won't do it. And so I'm just pleading with you, if you are in a position where you could find out and run for school board, I would encourage you beyond words to do it, to get involved with your schools. And if your school is too far gone and you have kids and grandkids and even great grandkids, do something to help them get educated outside of the public indoctrination, satanically inspired system. That's why I'm trying to put together an academy online for parents that are willing to commit themselves to homeschooling their children, to give them the resources they need. And there's not going to be a set tuition. That's the goal. Parents are going to do the best they can to help fund it. But the most important thing is for those students and parents to be together committed to the program. You know, I'm the beneficiary of a quality Christian education as a child. And where I went to school at that time, I don't know of any child that was ever removed from school because they couldn't pay the tuition. Everybody I went to school with stayed with me all the way through the eighth grade. Unless somebody moved away like I did in the eighth grade, they were there year after year. Of course, now many private schools, it's, you know, they may call themselves not-for-profit. Some are for profit. And if you don't pay the bill, well, you're not in. And so we need to, as Christians, gather together to recognize we have a joint responsibility in the education of our children. The church has been negligent. The church has been AWOL, absent without leave, and allowing our children to fall through the cracks. And then parents that don't take their kids to church, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it again and again and again. The most derelict parents in the world are the ones that may go to church themselves, but let their children decide at a very young age if they're coming with them or not. You are disgusting and horrible parents if that's what you do. You can never do that. The Bible forbids you from doing that. You are to train up and raise up a child. Do you let your child choose if they're going to school, taking a bath, brushing their teeth, going to the dentist? No, we can't do that. That's important stuff. But church is not important. What kind of an idiot are you if you believe that? And if you have a, if you're a grandparent and you recognize it in your children, don't worry about the risk. Call them out. The risk to the souls of those grandchildren is greater than any risk in damaging a relationship. Get with the program. I'm tired of compromise. I'm just sick of it. Here in the United States, crime is on the rise. George Soros, another evil, despicable individual, has been spending millions of dollars putting in these fake and phony district attorneys in. No bail. Violent crime, no problem. Oh, but if you have a hate crime, if you say something or get the wrong pronoun, we're going to get your mind fixed. Kathy Hochul. I didn't think New York could ever have a really bad... I mean, I didn't think any governor after Cuomo could be any worse. But Kathy Hochul has exceeded my worst nightmare in New York State. Violent crime is so bad in New York City subways that Kathy Hochul deployed 1,000 National Guardsmen, state police, and MTA police to patrol the subways of New York. Now, I got to remind you, it's people like Alvin, you know, Braggadocious, that's going after Trump on some silly, stupid charges, that refuses to prosecute real crime. No bail. People can get killed in that town and walk out without bail. You know, it wasn't long ago that there was a guy that saw some poor person literally being beaten up on a subway and intervened. And in the process, unfortunately, the perpetrator died. Now, the perpetrator would have killed the other individual. Who got charged? The guy that tried to be the Good Samaritan. Kathy Hochul, Mayor Adams, your stupid policies are killing people. Your stupid policies are making the subways intolerably unsafe. Kathy Hochul, you're unworthy of your office. You should resign, but you're a reprobate. You're going to stay in it. You're going to stay there and suck up the power and love it. And you're going to talk about your phony Catholicism. You love abortion. You love your dead babies. You can't. I mean, this is Moloch worship. You worship the earth. You're a Gaia worshiper, a Moloch worshiper, and you spit in the face of Christ. You're not a Christian. You're serving Antichrist. And so many in politics today are earth-worshipping members of the Antichrist sect. Why do you think that I'm so concerned about education? Why do you think I'm so concerned about teaching? Why am I so concerned about churches that compromise on important matters of doctrine? I'm tired of silly fights about church rules and old traditions. What does the gospel say? What does the Bible teach? What is the most important aspect? And too many churches are busy infighting with each other, backbiting and gossiping. I got news for you. If that describes your church, the Spirit of God has long since left. Your lampstand is gone. You might as well shut the doors. You're not doing the cause of Christ any good. We've got to do something. Here in the United States, we have an election. Will this permanently repair things? Of course not. Can it make things a little bit better for a season? Perhaps. I mentioned as we started the program, we are this coming Tuesday here in the United States and Canada and the Northern Hemisphere, in Europe, UK. We're moving from winter into spring, from darkness into the light. And come the fall, depending upon the election here in the United States, we could be slipping back not into just physical darkness, but depending on the outcome, we could be slipping into extreme spiritual darkness, the likes of which we have never seen before. So I pray that, number one, and I know some of you folk out there, they get all bent out of shape. Well, you know, this guy is not perfect, so I'm just not going to vote. You better get out there and vote. I'm sick and tired of lazy people thinking they're voting for the head pastor of their church. All I ask you to do is vote for the candidate that poses the least threat to your faith, your family, your work, your livelihood, and your life. Vote for the one that poses the least threat. That's the least you can do. If you don't do that and things get bad, go to the mirror and look at the person that helped make it happen. You. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. And if you're a Christian and you didn't register to vote, then shut your mouth and never speak. Just turn the news off. Go away. You're worthless. You're just occupying space. You're not doing anything to help promote the gospel. You're not doing anything to make this world a safer place. You're just being lazy. So if you're a Christian that has not registered to vote, you better do it now. You better do it now or forever shut your face. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear your complaint. If you don't vote, then shut up. I'm tired of it. We live in a dark time, and this program is here for the purpose of shedding light into the darkness. And I need your help. We're on WTWW in the United States a couple of times each night, and I'm going to decide over the next week if we can maintain that. It really depends upon the financial support. I'll be very blunt. It's not been there. We can kind of maintain a WRMI. I'd like to increase there a little bit too, but I can't do it without your help. If you would, visit the website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. There's a tab for support. We use Give, Send, Go exclusively. It's a safe Christian organization to support this ministry. But if you prefer, you may send a check or money order made payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, that's 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The face in the crowd. Coming up, Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and you're going to love in a moment. Well, what an awful scene. Stephen, the disciple, he's being stoned to death. But if he only knew, when he saw that face in the crowd, that undoubtedly zealous face of this man named Shaul or Saul, his enemy, if he could only know that that person who helped the rest stone him to death, that person who was filled with so much anger and hatred against Messiah, that person who wanted Stephen dead would be touched and changed and become the greatest apostle the faith would ever know. Who would bring the gospel to the nations, who would write the majority of books of the New Testament. I mean, amazing. Who would suffer all things for Messiah. And like Stephen, give up his life with joy to the king. If Stephen had only known, he would have rejoiced that one of those for that face in the crowd. I mean, he was rejoicing, but oh man, if he could see that. But it was almost impossible for Stephen to see that or know it when you see everything against you and everything's going against you in every way. And you have pain and people are rejecting you and stoning you to death. It's hard to see that. But you know, that's the thing. When everything's coming at you, my friend, when all those stones are being hurled at you and it seems like everything's going wrong in your life, remember, there's a blessing. You might not see it, but it's there. There's always a blessing there, a higher reason, a greater purpose, a blessing, a glory. It might even be part of the problem, as like Saul was part of the problem at the moment, but yet amazing, he would be turned for God and so that problem. So rejoice in your problems, in your situation, your crisis, because in that situation, There is a Shaul, there's a soul that's going to turn to the greatest blessing for the glory of God. Just look for that face in the crowd. While more ask for the garments and the glory on CD. Now, what if you got something offered to you priceless, life-changing, and free? Well, here goes. Sapphires is as precious as it sounds to help give you a life, a walk of joy. It's amazing. And the Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. All these free gifts. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus, real name Yeshua. Write it down and call it. So to receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. That's 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and the unreached peoples on five continents with over a billion people. It's amazing. How? It's amazing. Through shortwave radio, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1, blanket the earth, touch the lost. That's Yeshua, YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. It's right to the nice Jewish boy, box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. Zip is 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy. It's box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, look for the blessing, my friend. It's there. Peace be to you in Messiah, Or Haolam, the light of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. One of the most well-known Bible verses for most people, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all that believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to share a few thoughts on that in just a couple of moments. But I want to talk about something else just for a second. How many times has God done things for you and you're still complaining? Well, you know, it's not perfect. My health is not great. I don't have as much as I want. God, I asked for a bigger house and I don't have it. I wanted a better job and I don't have it. Murmur and complainers that the church, unfortunately, is just overrun with them. They fight over topics and things that have no bearing on sharing the good news of the gospel. If anything, it impedes the sharing of the gospel. Worrying about what color carpet or this and that, and the arguments and the backbiting. And we're too lazy to go out there to say to the world, so God loved the world that he gave his only son for you. No, we're too busy fighting in our church. We're too busy nitpicking. We're too busy fighting that we can't do what God called us to do. There's a day of reckoning coming. You know, even the children of Israel, over their history, many times murmured and complained, and most important, they disobeyed God. And the United States may be on the verge of learning a lesson like ancient Israel. Israel is put into bondage, overtaken, lost battles because of their turning their back on God. And I look at this very precarious world in which we live today. And I'm not so much frightened as I am concerned that we are heading to a time where the United States could fall as we know it. We could be in bondage. We are already $34 trillion in debt, a debt that can never be paid. And you have countries like China with their own financial problems. You have what's going on in Ukraine. You have what's going on in the Middle East. There is stability everywhere. And I'm afraid that this nation that has turned its back on God is about to pay a price. I shared a message this past Sunday with my congregation, Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. And we talked about this very topic. So welcome into the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. I hope this message is a blessing for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, as we gather around your word, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. It's a little different here for me today than it was last week. Last week, the church that we attended, they have good lighting, as you'll see on the video, but it's a little dark inside the church by design. And there was a much bigger stage, platform, area, full praise band behind me with all the instruments live. They're pretty good, too, because they even were able to detect as I'm coming near the end of the message and they're quietly assembling behind me. I didn't even notice they were up there. They started playing music as I'm closing in prayer. I'm going, this is pretty neat. So I had the opportunity to enjoy that. I want to just quickly explain the term Lent, and it comes from an old word that really means the time between winter and spring. Wasn't that simple? What is Lent? It's that time between winter and spring. When you think, especially in this time in the Northern Hemisphere, we make the transition from the dark days of winter coming into the brightness and new life of spring. Think about that. Now, being in Florida in the tropics, we got to see plant life was kind of there all the time. But coming back north, we couldn't help but notice suddenly all these dead things sticking out of the ground called trees. And we're in that time when life is about to return to the vegetation, then the spring rains, the summer harvest. In the time of Christ, they understood that even in the Middle East, they have cool evenings, they had distinct seasons. And so this idea, when Jesus is resurrected from the dead, this entire time of Holy Week takes on significant meaning for them and for us today. So we are now in that season where winter is beginning to go behind us as we look forward to spring. The early church, as I've mentioned before, created this thing we call today like a church calendar, kind of an annual walk through Jesus' life, beginning with Advent, remembering the need for his first coming, his birth in Bethlehem, his early ministry, Palm Sunday and all the Good Friday as we know it, and Easter, all of it. We are reminded every year of that journey because they didn't have Bibles in their hands. They didn't have books. They didn't have material. So instead, the early church had you walk through his life every year. By the time you got into your teens or your 20s, you pretty well know the story by rote. That's how we used to learn how to play piano, by rote. I never liked it that much, but that's what they told us we had to do. Repetitive, 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 and you begin to learn something. Lent also was defined as the 40 days before Easter. And they chose 40 days because we're reminded that Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, was in the wilderness and fasted and prayed for 40 days to prepare for his earthly ministry. So it's not a bad idea for us to prepare ourselves, remind ourselves of why Jesus had to come to begin with. Now, in the Old Testament lesson, this is one that a lot of people don't really know, but it's one that I learned over the years. And many of us may need to sometimes learn it over and over again. The children of Israel have been in bondage in Egypt for ages. Oh, God, get us out of being slaves in Egypt. Help us. And God sent them a Moses, an 80-year-old dude who had had to hide in the wilderness because he was accused of murder. And God spoke to him. He went back to meet the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. The Pharaoh's going, you're out of your mind. I'm not letting anybody go. one plague after another, after another, after another, till he finally got the attention of the Pharaoh. And the one that really caught the attention is one that also will tie us into Holy Week in the not too distant future. They didn't mind the locusts. They could deal with the swarms of this. They could deal with all of that. But when God instructed Moses to tell his children to slaughter the lamb, put the blood upon the upper part of your door, the door lintel, the door molding, whatever, door casing, whatever you want to call it today. When the angel of death comes, it'll bypass your house, pass over your home. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. The judgment is coming. And you and your household are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so that night, every firstborn died in every household. That finally got the attention of the Pharaoh. Get out of here. Leave now. And the children of Israel that had seen miracle after miracle after miracle suddenly have left Egypt with Pharaoh's army behind them trying to, after the Pharaoh said, "Now wait a minute, I need the slaves. Oh, we'll figure something out. Get them back." His armies chased them down. Then God parted the water. The Israelites went across. And Pharaoh's army drowned when the water came back. Read a story, and I had to double check and vet it a little bit, because sometimes you see a lot of stuff. You've heard that say, "I found it on the internet, it's got to be true." You've heard that expression. I'm very cautious, really cautious. They have found some archaeological evidence in the sea of old chariot wheels. And it's from a credible source. So that one was true. There is evidence out there of what God had done. Now, the children of Israel are now in the desert. And they're on this journey to the promised land. Not really knowing how long this journey is going to be. Now, God has given them a pillar of fire by night, guidance by day, food in the morning. All your needs are being met. And what did the children of Israel do that had been in bondage for hundreds of years, like they had been before and would be again? They murmured and complained. The food's not good enough. It was better back in Egypt. We could deal with the leeks and the onions and a little bit of labor. We were better fit. I mean, they started to murmur and complain. How often do we as Christians murmur and complain about the things we're supposed to do that God has called us to do and we're not doing it? "I don't like it this way." Well, God, I'd rather you would never beginning to even comprehend all that God has for you. We put it into our minds of what we think it should be, and then we demand God bow down to us like the almighty genie. And if he doesn't, we murmur and complain. God let them know in no uncertain terms, "I don't appreciate your complaining. I'm giving you what you have wanted and you have prayed for and you have demanded of me for centuries. You are free. You are on the way to the promised land. You're being fed. Nobody's starving out here. Nobody's doing without. It may not be the perfect world you want yet, but you are yet unperfected." I remember talking to a friend of mine in ministry many years ago in the church body that I was in at the time. And he talked about all the struggles we had ahead. And he said, "We are like the church in the wilderness at times. Sometimes the old guard has got to die off for the good of the church and the new ones be raised up." I learned that in being back in my days just on a church board, on a building committee, that sometimes the old pillars that think they run everything have got to fall before God can really do a work with his people. What the children of Israel did not know at the time, those that left Egypt would not be the ones that came into the promised land. It'll be a whole new generation. Moses would not even enter the promised land. And even Moses had disobeyed, but God did keep his promise that he would see it. And God is faithful to his promise. See, the problem with the children of Israel, with the murmuring and complaining, you can now see it. You can take the children of Israel out of Egypt, but you couldn't get the Egypt out of the children of Israel at the time. And God did not want that coming into the inheritance they were about to receive. They needed to start with a clean slate. We have an advantage over the children of Israel as Christians. The psalmist David described it best when he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." See, Jesus has come. Jesus has given us redemption. Jesus has given us the pathway. Jesus has shed his blood to save us and our household, like Passover. And yet oftentimes we still murmur and complain. You know, I was kind of fumbling through my Bible, actually looking for something else. And sometimes I will open up something and my eyes will spot something that I hadn't read maybe in 20 years. Job chapter 17. A good old Job. He had an easy life, didn't he? He had it made like every Christian. I mean, he should be one of those members of what they call Word of Faith. And, you know, just anything you want, I got everything. Life's always good for me. I don't think so. Chapter 17, "My breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, my graves are ready for me. And there are not mockers with me, and doth mine eyes continue in their provocation? Lay down now, put me in surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me?" The Christian life is not always easy. The life when you are obedient to God is not always the perfect, happy little life we think it can be. We do have our times of challenges. There's no need to murmur and complain. Just give it to God. I look at my own life, and I have to say, "Lord, forgive me for the times that I failed to trust." What's that old hymn, "Trust and Obey"? Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Happiness in Jesus doesn't mean we get our wishes like from a divine genie. But our needs are met. Where God wants us to be is covered. One of the things I've shared in this church, and I shared it last week, what is God calling you to do? We've talked about this before. Not that many weeks ago, last Sunday that I was here, I said, what is God calling you to do? Where's God calling you to be? See, I've learned something. When you walk in the light of his word and you are obedient, even when the storms of life comes, he carries you through. Not everybody is meant to be rich. Not everybody's meant to have their way all the time. Not everybody's life is going to be easy. Sometimes Christians remark, some of the secular people have it easier than me. That's true in this life. But I don't want to be where they're going to be in the life to come. When for an eternity they'll say, "Lord, why didn't I answer? Why did I deny? Why did I take you for granted with all that you've done?" It took God striking down with deadly serpents many of the household of Israel in the wilderness because they wouldn't listen. And finally, to save those that would still murmur and be bitten, God had Moses put that snake up on the staff to look upon it, to remind them, you just got what you deserved. But by God's mercy, you can be healed. as Jesus said, as Moses put up that serpent up on the staff, so much the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. I don't think the disciples had a clue what he was talking about when he said that. That he would be the one. What is that beautiful hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Or At the Cross? Think of all those hymns that we sing. At the cross where I first saw the light. Heavenly Father, teach us not to murmur and complain. Teach us to delight in your will, to walk in your ways. Bring us closer unto you at this time. And as we watch these seasons change from darkness into light, as we see your Son lifted upon the cross, and then as he promised, resurrected from the dead, may we cling to that promise and be the John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all that believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For this I ask, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Never.
Well, our time is pretty much up for this weekend edition of our program today. It has been a long week, I'll tell you that right now. Over the past month, we have done a lot of traveling, a lot of things, and I'm more thankful to God than you'll ever know. I go back a little over a month ago, and I was involved with an ordination in South Carolina, then my final immunotherapy for my bladder cancer, then we took a long drive to Florida. Had a tremendous amount of work to do down there, but we did get about 2.5 days vacation out of the almost 3 weeks down there. Everything else was work, opportunities to preach, but I'm thankful. Oh, I'd love to feel stronger than I do, but I'm thankful for what God has given me. This has been a rough week. I'm going to tell you that right now. Just trying to get back into the groove of things to do. There's so much on me, and I pray for help. I pray for guidance on this radio program. There's a voice inside of me wanting to open up this program and include a few more people to give you the news and information so I can take my time and get deeper into Scripture and share from God's Word what many of these stories mean and how we as Christians should approach the news stories of the day and not be caught up in some oddball, incorrect prophecy stuff that's been going on my entire lifetime. I don't know how many books that people have said, read this, read that, the end of the world is next Monday or whatever, and it's always wrong. But how do we approach this? And how do we share the good news? There's no doubt life is going to change. Life's going to get more complex. Powers of evil are never going to give up. They may retreat for a season, but they're going to come back stronger and more organized. What are we doing to combat it? Are you a soldier of the cross? Or are you ashamed of the cross? Good question for today. I pray that you will become obedient and a true follower of Christ. I'm requesting that you pray for me as I try to make some decisions regarding my local church, things that need to be done there, more on a national scale as well, this radio program, the educational project that I'm so deeply wanting to see come to fruition. There's a lot on me. And I pray that God raises up people to, well, fill, stand in the gap to make it happen. Plus, I pray for the finances to keep this radio program on shortwave. Budgetarily, we generally meet what's needed for WRMI. Taking on WTWW is another story. And I just don't see the increase. So in the week ahead, I've got to make that decision. In all fairness to WTWW. Visit our website if you'd like to support us. There's a support tab on the website. Find out there. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.